If you would turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to the first letter of John, chapter 3. This morning we'll be focusing particularly on verse 2. Last time we looked at this text, we looked at verse 1 and the manner of love, the otherworldly kind of love the Father has for us. In verse 2 we read, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Let's bow together in prayer. We thank You, Father, that Your Spirit revealed to John what was on Your heart. And thank You that You had him write that down, and You have preserved it for us. And now we ask that You would reveal Yourself through this part of Your Word, that You might be glorified, that we might be encouraged and blessed. In Yeshua's name, amen. It is always a wonderful thing to hear that word, beloved. John speaking to this family of God that he is writing to, beloved, beloved, you and I are beloved by one another, by the Father. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. The emphasis in that sentence is on now, right now, this very moment. Everyone who has placed their trust in Yeshua is a child of God. I read one person writing about this text saying that one of the challenges of our day is that you and I, as God's children, don't realize that we are and don't realize the value of that being the reality. But it is true that you and I are children of God. John would write in his gospel in chapter 1, he introduces the reality of us being born into God's family. And in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, in verse 12, he talks about how we come into God's family. And he writes, "But as many as received him, that is Yeshua, to them he gave the right to become children of God, those who believe in his name." So how does a person become a child of God? We receive a person, Yeshua. We believe in his name. We believe in all that he is, all that he says he is, all that he says he has done for us on our behalf. His name involves all of his character and all that he has done for us. And what is the reality in verse 13 of John 1? We are his children because we have believed, who were born not of blood, that is not a physical birth, nor of the will of the flesh, this wasn't the decision of our parents, nor of the will of any man, any human, but who were born of God. And John will write in chapter 3 that this is also a birth from above, a birth by the Spirit. So there is a new birth that has happened to all of us who have received Yeshua and have believed in his name. We have a brand new nature. We are a brand new person, a brand new creation. We are children of God right now. As glorious as the spiritual truth is that we have been adopted into the family of God, that we have come to have all the rights and privileges of the natural born person in the family of God, the greater reality is that we have actually been born into the family of God. We have been reborn, born of the Spirit, born of God, and we have new life. How important is it for us to realize that a relationship with God is not a reformation, it is a resurrection. That we aren't talking about turning over a new leaf, we are talking about entering a whole new reality. A whole new something that was not there before is there now. that the Spirit of God has come into us, has given us new life and a new nature, and the Spirit of God Himself lives in us. The reality of this is amazing and glorious. Romans 8 talks about this being in God's family and some of the things that come to us as a result of being in God's family. Although it speaks of the term adoption here, it's talking about us being children of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." And earlier in verse 11, it says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Shaul is telling us that for a person to be in Messiah means that the Spirit dwells in us. So back to verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." The Spirit of God has come in us and helps us know, witnesses with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And therefore now we have the glorious privilege of calling God our Abba. The most intimate, the most precious of terms. When I was younger and in high school, many of my friends started calling their dads their old man. Have you ever heard that expression? And that just bugged me to death. I didn't like that expression at all. And so I created a new one. I called my dad Good Old Dad. O-L-E. Good Old Dad. And he loved that expression. And some of you got to meet him here last week. He's been a glorious example to me, a man of God, a man of prayer. And for me, it's been a great help to know God the Father by looking at my own earthly father. I know many of you may not have that experience, but let me tell you, God is better than any earthly father, the best earthly father we could ever imagine. God is beyond that. And then for Him, by birth, by adoption, to call us His children and say, we now can call Him Abba. What an amazing privilege and blessing that is. In the first letter of Shaul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, he speaks more about this glorious mystery. You see, this is realizing who we are as a child of God is something that goes beyond our ability to figure out. In the first letter of Shaul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 6, he talks about the wisdom that is from God. He said, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Our eyes, our ears, our physical senses cannot figure out or conceive or come to fully understand what God has done in making us His children. But look at the next verse, verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Things that are beyond our ability to comprehend. Things that must be revealed to us. God has revealed it by the Spirit. That we are the children of God. Scripture says we have a new nature. Shaul, in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, says that we have a brand new nature. The Spirit of God lives in us, and He begins to produce the fruit, His fruit in us, which is character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a glorious thing. That is who we are now. We have a new inheritance. In that passage that we looked at in Romans, it says that we are joint heirs with Messiah. We have a brand new inheritance. We have a new destiny. In the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, Shaul writes about this new destiny, the direction of our lives. The second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 14, Shaul writes, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Messiah, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Messiah among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." You see, there are two categories of people in this world. There are those who are in Messiah, children of God, who are being saved. We have been saved in that we came into the family of God by birth, by trusting in Yeshua. We are being saved in that we are being rescued from that old nature, from our old lifestyle, from our old thinking. And one day we will be fully saved when God fully manifests who we are. And that's something else that we'll get to in this verse out of 1 John. But right now, there are those who are being saved and there are those who are perishing. Sometimes I've heard people talk about if they're good, they don't realize their need of God. But I say, look at a person's life, and over time, you can see the direction. I once heard the illustration that if you go to the Continental Divide in North America, which is where the waters flow to the different oceans, if you go to the Continental Divide, there may be snow on it, because often the Continental Divide is through the mountains. And if you have snow right side by side, it looks like it's the same. But over time, as that snow melts, it's going to go in a totally different direction and end up in a totally different ocean. And that is a picture here. There are those who are in Messiah who are headed to glory. We don't fully know who we are yet. It hasn't been fully revealed all that we shall be. But we are headed to glory. We are being saved. But there are those who are not in Messiah who have thus far chosen against Him. And they are headed in a different direction, a direction that is a direction of ruin, and indeed a direction of perishing. In verse 16 of this second chapter of 2 Corinthians, Shaul continues, "To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for such things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Messiah." Amazing that you and I are headed to heaven. We are in the state of being saved, of fully coming to know and fully experience who we really are. And we have a new lifestyle. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Shaul says that therefore, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do all to the glory of God. Now the glory of God is our lifestyle. The glory of God, God's glory, is the outshining of His inner character. And you and I become pictures and portraits of His glory. Others come to see how precious He is through our lives. And it is not as a microscope where we take something small and make it big, but is rather as a telescope that we take something that is far away and glorious and bring it near so others can see how magnificent it is. That is what we are doing, showing the magnificent glory of God. We are His children, children of God. And these are the new realities that are in our lives right now. And then to be able to call God our Abba, that He would be our Father. I like to think of these different dimensions of Him in this. The physical realm is kind of helpful. Do you realize in Psalm 50, verse 10, it says, "Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Our Father is a cattle baron." Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." Our Father is the founder and CEO of earth. Isaiah 40, verse 26 says, "Lift your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their hosts, the starry hosts, by number? He calls them all by name. By the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one is missing." Our Father is the owner of Universe Holdings Unlimited. And our Father owns all the silver and all the gold, says God in Haggai verse 2, verse 8 in chapter 2. Our Father is independently wealthy in every area, not just in these physical realms, but our Father is independently wealthy in grace, in mercy, in peace, in goodness, in joy, in love. This is our Abba, who we can come to through Yeshua any time of the day or night as His children. What a glory it is to have Abba as our Abba. To have God, the God of the universe, who owns everything, to be ours, and we are heirs of that with Him. We are co-heirs with our elder brother, Yeshua. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 10, we see here this, the letter to the Hebrews is a letter helping us see how Yeshua is better and fulfills everything in the Tanakh. And in chapter 2, it talks about how Yeshua became God in flesh. And then in verse 10, it says this of Hebrews chapter 2, "For it was fitting for Him," that is Yeshua, "for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, many children to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren." When Yeshua walked the earth, there came a moment when His family came looking for Him. His mother, His brothers, His sisters came because they thought He had gone crazy. They thought He was nuts. And they came looking for Him. And on this particular occasion, Matthew chapter 12 records this for us. In verse 46, they found Him, and He was talking with the multitudes. And He said, while He was still talking to the multitudes, in chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 46 and following, "While He was still talking to the multitudes, behold, His mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with Him. Then one said to Him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But He answered and said to the one who told Him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And He stretched out His hand toward His disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother, my family.'" Children of God. Abba, God Himself, our Abba. Yeshua, our elder brother. Co-heirs with Yeshua. Children of God. It would be so helpful and encouraging for us to give careful attention to meditating on the reality of who we are as children of God every day, because it will make a big impact on how we live and how we view ourselves related to others. Working in university ministry for many years, I have come across so many young men and women whose image of themselves is shattered because of broken family or bad choices, broken relationships. And when a young man or young woman comes to trust in Yeshua, one of the greatest challenges is to help them see the new reality about who they are. To see that being a child of God means that God is now our Father, that we are loved beyond our imagining, that we have a family, that we can come to our Father any time of the day or night, that we have a glorious new reality of ourselves. Right now, as soon as we have trusted Yeshua, we have become children of God. Sure, there is a fallen nature in us. We all know that. We know that we struggle with sin. As our brother Joel pointed out today, we struggle with especially the sin of unbelief, which leads then to the sin of disobedience in every other area. It's really a fight of faith. But the fight of faith is that we come to see we are now children of God. We have a different nature, and God is creating a different reality for us, that we have become citizens of heaven as well. To realize that, to let that sink in, changes everything. And then, back in John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, Yeshua will be manifest. And we looked at this a few weeks ago as we looked at the end of chapter 2 and verse 28, where it says, and now little children abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. He will appear. He will come. Yeshua is coming, and sooner than you and I may think. Yeshua promised this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, in what's called the Olivet Discourse, as He was on the Mount of Olives. And His disciples came to Him and asked when would be the day when the temple would be destroyed, as He predicted. And in conclusion at that time, Matthew 24 and verse 27, Yeshua says this, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Yeshua is going to come again. And when He comes, this time, when He comes, it will be in all of His glory, in all of His majesty. He will come personally. He will come visibly, and He will come in His majesty and His glory. And we will see Yeshua as He really is. John writes, we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall see Him in all of His glory. Not the crucified one, not the one who is marred, but the one whose wounds are glorified, the one who is full of glory. When Yeshua was facing execution in Matthew chapter 26, the religious leaders had brought Him in for questioning in the night. They had arrested Him. And He is standing trial before them. And in chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 57, we read, and those who had laid hold of Yeshua led Him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed Him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and He went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Yeshua to put Him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Yeshua kept silent. And then the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Yeshua said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, coming on the clouds of heaven, coming on the clouds of heaven in great glory. Yeshua is absolutely, positively coming. And when he comes, it will be fully revealed who he is. We will see him in all of his magnificence, and we will marvel at him, those of us who know him. In the book of Revelation, John would write this picture of Yeshua, the vision that God had given him of Yeshua. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Yeshua Mashiach, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Yeshua Mashiach. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven congregations which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, was he marred, bleeding, bloody, so that we could hardly recognize him? No, he was clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band, like the high priest, glorious. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand the seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. That is the resurrected Yeshua. And John, when he saw him, fell at his feet as dead. But Yeshua laid his right hand on him, saying to him, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Yeshua, our glorified Lord, will come one day in all of his majesty, and we will see him as he is. Even in this vision that John was given, even in this vision, Yeshua was withholding some of himself. Because if the full measure of the glory of God had shown, John would have evaporated. John would have not been able to stand it in a physical body. Neither can you and I. But one day, we will see Yeshua. We will see him as he really is, in all of his glory. And we will be able to take it. Because we will be made fully like him. When we see Yeshua as he is, John writes, when we see him as he is, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. As a child of God, as children of God, you and I really are different right now. And I think when we see him, all that we really are is simply going to be manifest. The full reality is just simply going to come out. Yeshua pictured this, I think, when he went to prayer one night. In Luke chapter 9, there's the account of Yeshua taking Peter and James and John and going up a high mountain. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray at night. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, or his exodus, which he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Yeshua is fully God in human flesh. On this occasion, spending time with the Father, the glory of who he was began to shine out. In fellowship with the Father, the inner person of who Yeshua really was began to shine through his flesh and shine through his clothes. And I think if God had not withdrawn a bit there, this seems to be a picture of what God had in mind for humanity. That as you and I would have walked with God, if Adam and Eve had never made that fateful choice, I think this is a picture of what it would have been like. That you and I would have just at that moment been translated into glory at an appropriate moment. But you know, this is the new reality for us too. This is a picture. When you and I see God in His glory, the reality of who we really are is going to be fully known and fully revealed. The glory is going to become real, obvious, shining through in all of its fullness as we see God, similar to this transfiguration moment. You remember in the temple, in the book of Acts, Peter and John went to the temple in the time of prayer. And there was a lame man sitting by the beautiful gate. And they recognized that God was present in that moment. And Peter looked at him, and the man was thinking he's going to give me some money. And Peter said, well, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give to you. And in the name of Yeshua of Nazareth, rise and walk. And instantly, God gave that man strength. His legs were healed, and he stood on his feet, and he was so excited about what God had done that he began to praise God, and he was so thrilled that he could move for the first time in his life that he began leaping around like a deer, jumping up and down, hanging on to Peter and John as he went into the temple. The religious leaders had been trying to squelch this new message of Yeshua that had been going on for these four plus years now. And so they arrested these two men, Peter and John. And in chapter 4 of Acts, this is what Peter has to say. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Yeshua the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas and high priest Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua Mashiach of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Yeshua. When you and I hang out with Yeshua, we can't help but reflect who He is. And when you and I come to that day when we see Yeshua face to face, then the fullness of who we are in Him will be manifest, and it will be clear to everyone in the whole universe that we are the children of God. What God has begun in us, that good work, He will bring to conclusion, to completion. Shaul wrote the sequence that all things work together for us who belong to God, who love God and are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew His children. Those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of Yeshua His Son, that he might be the firstborn among a big family, many brothers and sisters. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. The effective call of the good news came to us, and we responded in faith and became children of God through Yeshua. Whom he called, he also justified, declaring us righteous, crediting all the righteousness, all the good deeds, all the good thoughts, all the righteousness of Yeshua credited to us, taking upon himself all of our gunk, all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our rebellion. Those whom he called, he justified, and those whom he justified, he glorified. That is something that's coming, that you and I are going to be glorified. The glory of God in us is going to shine out. All of creation, all the universe, all the angelic beings, everyone is going to see that you and I are children of God, and we are going to be so glad that we trusted Yeshua. We are going to be so glad that he made us a brand new person, that he made us his children. And together, we will be a display of his glory through all eternity. Charlotte would write in his letter to the Ephesians that we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua to do good works, which he prepared for us before the world began. That we are his workmanship. That's the same word that we get the word poem, masterpiece. That we are his masterpiece, showing the glory of his kindness and his love and his mercy and his grace. We are a display forever, a living, organic display and fellowship with him for all of eternity. All of eternity, children of God, Abba, our Father, and all of us brothers and sisters in this family. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Glory to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your great love, that you stretched out your arms, that you sent your Son and he willingly came and gave his life, and you raised him from the dead, vindicating everything he ever said or did, affirming that he is indeed Yeshua, Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords, elder brother of your family. Thank you, Father, that through him you have brought us into this precious relationship, that we are your children and we can call you Abba. Father, help us this day and throughout the rest of our lives live in the reality that we have just talked about together, to live in the anticipation of seeing you and of you completing the work that you have begun in us. Oh, Father, give us this great joy in being your kids and living that out before others, that they may come to know you, that you are a good father, the best of fathers, and being in your family is the best thing that could ever happen to anyone. We thank you and we praise you for making us your children. We give you praise and honor through Yeshua. In his name, amen.